let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, Coast to Coast. Thank you for sharing some time with us on the program today. Ilmarin Vogel offers a unique point of view on the experience of World War II in his historical novel, Crossing Borders. He tells the story about the campaign against Russia in Stalingrad and ending in the siege at the Abbey of Monte Cassino in Italy by the American Marines. From the perspective of a young doctor, a surgeon on a hospital train, and the locomotive engineers who stay with the hospital train and are in his medical care. Returning from an escort assignment on a medevac train home to the front in Russia, with medical resupplies, he finds his hospital train, the entire medical team with all the patients, missing. It's a personal journey and the struggles of war. Ilmarin is the son of a doctor who served to save lives in the war on Russia. Born in 1946, he grew up in the shadows of two world wars. His parents had been in opposition to the Hitler regime. They resolved to stay in Germany, determined to help build a just and free world once the war was over. A remarkable life. He focused on freedom of education, science and medicine, social and economic justice, freedom of religion. He's a talented author. He was inspired to write after a car accident. He was involved in a 120-mile-an-hour head-on collision caused by a speeding driver under the influence of heroin and alcohol, becoming the victim of PTSD. He looked into his past and saw trauma everywhere, including his own parents from their own war experience. Ilmarin Vogel, author of Crossing Borders, is our guest on This Week in America. Ilmarin, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick, for having me.
This is such a fascinating book, and let's talk about first about the motivation, the inspiration. Where did this idea come from for the book Crossing Borders?
I was recovering from PTSD, and I had I'd found finally a coach who could, or a counselor who could help me regain my coping skills without drugs. And I had to retreat to Martha's Vineyard, where I lived before. And I was lucky enough to walk into Pathways Projects and Pathways Art Space here in Chilmark on Martha's Vineyard, where I thought it was a restaurant. And I found myself in a place where they were supporting all forms of art and fused different art forms. And I found encouragement by the founder, Dr. Marianne Goldberg, the late Dr. Marianne Goldberg, who had created this space for the winter for Martha's Vineyard. And she encouraged me, and she helped me with an honorarium to become determined to pursue this story about the PTSD part. And one of the projects that sort of spun off of this work on the PTSD was a gap in the history of the Second World War that I discovered, and I decided to write this story, the story of the young physician who lost his unit and became AWOL and had to make his way home. And that's the story about Crossing Borders, where he is not only crossing borders in nationalities, but also the crossing of the borders between life and death.
This is a fascinating story. Talk about who you're writing this book for, because as I'm looking at it and reading reviews, this really is a fascinating story that really has got a very broad audience, doesn't it?
Yes, I think that most of us are children or grandchildren of people who were engaged in World War II. And in my research, I found that America was the only country that really did some significant intervention to end the war. And to me, that was a fascinating point of view. So I think that people who have parents or grandparents who were involved in ending the Nazi regime would be interested. And I think that the idea that saving lives ultimately will lead to peace rather than taking lives, that is something that goes throughout the story. And I think it could interest anybody.
It's a fascinating read. It's Crossing Borders by our guest on the program, Ilmarin Vogel. That's Ilmarinen Vogel. You'll find the book available at all the usual places. Amazon will have, of course, links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. What's really fascinating in the book is the detail you go into. It's very graphic. We feel like we're there. Talk about getting the information regarding these medical trains, sort of an aspect for many people. It's the first time they really are getting some look at the medical trains that were used during this period of the war.
I was lucky in one of my writing groups is a person who was also from Germany, and she had an uncle, and she shared with me memoirs from her uncle who was driving a medical train in Germany. He did about 40,000 miles driving a medical train. So I had firsthand information about descriptions about how the patients are on those medical trains and how the people feel that are operating these trains, which is sort of a specialty amongst logistics of a war, which is bringing the wounded home and how that was affecting everybody who was in the business of saving lives. And that is what interested me.
When you did the research on this, were you surprised at what you found? Was this an enlightening experience for you as well? Finding something you had a knowledge of it, but finding something even deeper than that.
Yes, it was. I felt that I had enough information directly growing up in Germany that would give me the flavor of areas and different places. And in terms of how I found the world after, when I grew up after World War II, I was growing up in areas that had been 95% destroyed. And I was also growing up in areas that had been spared, and they were not that far away from each other. And so the experience of people in this war was between people who had to live with total devastation and people who were keeping their daily routines up. And I think that the unsung heroes of any situation like that, where people are losing their lives, are the people who get up in the morning and do the work throughout the day. And I found it fascinating to observe how the young physician who is charged with helping the civilian population, wherever they are, regardless of which nationality they are from, but he was charged to help civilians nearby. And I found that to be a very, very interesting.
The book that we're talking about is Crossing Borders by Ilmarin Vogel. That's Vogel. You feature some groups of people who are not completely affiliated with the national interest of Germans. You've got the railroaders, the Cossacks, the circus people, river barge operators, priests and rabbis. Talk about introducing those people, those elements, those groups into the story.
He was my protagonist was AWOL. Anybody could have shot him on the spot. And the people that he was able to connect with, to save his own life, were people who were not inherently affiliated or directly felt obligated to protect the Nazis, like the barge operators on the Danube. They were people who have been doing the Silk Route for 2,000 years prior to the Nazis. The railroaders had built railroads in the 18th century and were a whole new tribe of people, a whole new family of people who knew how to run railroads. And they knew that the modern world could not live without railroads, and it didn't matter who. So regimes were incidental to the existence of these people. And that was true to the gypsies, that was true to people who had been the Cossacks in Russia, who had been used by different Russian regimes, the Tsars and whoever came after them. They felt, as Cossacks, loyalty to each other and loyalty to their soil more than to any incidental regime. And that is significant because This person who I'm talking about was connecting to their culture, and it was a link where his ability as a physician, his ability as a human, his ability as a teacher and educator came into play to connect with people who were seeing themselves independent from any incidental regime.
How did you study and discover, learn about the influence of the American Armed Forces on not only disrupting, but ultimately ending the war?
I studied Michener, James Michener.
Okay.
Who is the premier American war chronicler who describes these situations and has a very astute view on the events and how they unfolded. And he describes some of the scenes that I then used in the book, scenes like the disruption of the railroad in Ulm, where they saved the cathedral by using the cathedral as flyers, as a landmark that they could surround, and then they could cut the railroad in half at the station in Ulm. And that disabled an entire side of the war. And that this type of action, and then, of course, we know about Normandy, we know about Cassino, which is the Italian war that ended with a tragedy of this enormous loss of life. And what made it personal for me was that my daughter has two grandparents, one who lost his life, two great-grandparents. One has lost his life in Monte Cassino, and one has lost his life in Normandy. So to her, this is like a family event where the effort of American forces to end the war was significantly affecting people's personal lives.
Ilmar and Vogel, our guest on the program, the book we're talking about, his book, Crossing Borders. You talk about personal. I want to focus on your post-war experience. How does that shape your views in topics that we're discussing? They're headlines now, migration, community. How, looking back on your past, how has that shaped your views as you look at these stories about community, migration, immigration now?
I was growing up in a family where our mother as we grew as a family, we were still living in the mountains in a safe place. And our father had moved into a town that had been 95% destroyed in the war. So there was no housing there. And as people who were in temporary housing arrangements, we were part of a group of 20 million people who were wandering around Europe, homeless, basically. And the experience of growing up being one of the people who were treated with suspicion wherever we moved to, we had to build relationships. I moved 15 times by the time I was 15. So moving was something that brought us a little closer all the time to where my father was working, and as the town was being rebuilt. So by the time I was 6 and 7 years old, I was able to participate and witness the rebuilding of a world that had been completely destroyed.
Let me take that a step further. Do you see similarities now in what's going on with today's wars and the migration of refugees that we read so much about?
Absolutely. The feelings that we are expressing, or that people are expressing toward refugees, are that of feeling threatened and having a sense of powerlessness. And the people who are in the predicament of becoming refugees, they don't leave their homes because they didn't like it there. They left their homes because they were destroyed. And the homeless crisis in Europe, where this is now being politicized, makes it even worse, because it it garners a fear that people have and a distrust in each other that is easily overcome. And I was witness when that happened. I was witness in Europe where temporary housing was built under the Marshall Plan. It was unbelievable how quickly people were in homes, even though they may not be as sturdy or as long-lasting homes, but they had a roof over their head. And it started leveling out this fear. And the persistent fear is something that is a greater threat almost than anything else.
Elmarin Vogel, our guest in the program, author of the book Crossing Borders. That's what we're talking about on the program today. What are your views on religion? And do you believe in a God?
I absolutely do. And I'm the grandson of two ministers. And the biggest challenge for my grandparents was that it seemed as though the Bible was not sufficient in giving guidance to the people, and the shock over the events of World War I and World War II was palatable, and it led them to searching deeper into the roots of religion. And my grandfather on my father's side spoke fluently ancient Greek, and he studied every written document he could find. And I can see his notes that he had that he took to come up with answers. And ultimately, he was even getting in conflict with the organized church, the Hessian Protestant church. But he was pleading with his community to never leave the church, because this was still a way of reaching out personally to your maker and a chance to connect with a spiritual order of the universe that just cannot be denied. You have every person who thinks about creation with a different view on that, and yet they are all united in the fact that they can see that there is a spiritual world that unites us all and that we're all based on. And the more you deal with this crossing of life and death, you find that this is true, that it's an individual experience. And so in my family, the religious traditions were carefully observed, but at the same time, we also realized that at the end of the day, we were thinking it would be more important what you do than what you believe, and therefore, we in my family thought we were being judged not by what we believe, but what we do. And that is basically sort of a good guidance for the conduct in life.
Yes, it is. And fascinating. The time is going by way too quickly. We've got a couple minutes left here. I know music has been important as who you are from a young man and learning about other people. It was music that brought you together and exposed you to other people from various parts of the world. How was music a factor in writing this book, Crossing Borders?
Well, I was very unhappy about my family's moving around too much. And I was looking for some anchor and something for myself that would help me. And so I learned to play the French horn. And as a French hornist, I had opportunity, as I was learning and as I was studying, I had opportunity to play in several events that would unite people from different countries that used to be at war with each other. Now we were playing music and we were talking a common language. And to me, the uniting language of music that everybody can feel and understand was something that I took as a healing element, both for for reuniting people who might have been at war with each other, but also for personal healing for people who need harmony and who need creativity.
Yes.
And who need this expression, because that is where we can. Music is the finest form. Now I'm a writer, but I still think that music is a background that can make us open up, and opening up to each other, opening up to different cultures, I think is still the key to maybe one day achieving peace.
Take a minute or so here at the end of the program. I just want to sort of wrap up as we're discussing the book Crossing Borders by Ilmarin Vogel, our guest on the program today. How did you choose the point of view in the book, and what is the message that your characters have for society today? There's so many levels to what you write about it in Crossing Borders.
I chose the point of view because not only am I the son of a young physician who actually did this journey and never spoke a single word about it. And I chose to tell the story that was never told. But also, I felt that I'm a mediator, and in my personal life, interested in helping people achieve peace. And I felt that there are plenty of stories that describe in detail how wars are fought, but very few stories that tell you what happened to the people who were there to save lives. And I think saving lives has won more hearts and minds than taking lives, obviously. And so I liked to look deep into that pursuit of life rather than the pursuit of winning a war. And I still think that consensus building would be a better weapon than discussions at the muzzle of a gun. So to me, it was important to show that side where you're fighting for somebody's life and not against somebody's life.
You do that in such a remarkable way. The book is just critically acclaimed, excellent reviews, Crossing Borders by our guest on the program, Ilmarin Vogel, that's Ilmarinen Vogel. The book is available at the usual places. I'll send you to Amazon. Go to our website. You can link on, get more of that information. And he will be back with us on the program discussing another one of his books, Reinventing Life, My Journey into PTSD. We'll have a chance to talk about that as well. Sir, thank you for being on the program today. Fascinating book. Excellent job with that. Looking forward to having you back on the program again to talk about one of your other books. Thank you for sharing this with us.
Yeah, I'd like to say a word of thank you to Karen Tonneston and Scott Crawford and Tanya Agustinas here at Pathways Art, who have facilitated an amazing venue for people to develop their artistic talent, and I owe a world to them for doing this.
Well, and it's a nice television studio too. If you look at the YouTube version of the program, you'll see a nice setting there with the lighting is very good, the sound is very good, and the guest is excellent as well. Ilmarin, with us on the program, Vogel, the book is Crossing Borders. You'll find information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.